Ability Freak Out at 6 p.m. Alter Ego in the evening at 7. Roots Rock. And I think I said Surfability.
You did.
Stay with us after. See you at the show for Surfability Freak Out at 6 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Fantastic show. Alter Ego in the evening at 7. Roots Rock and Reggae at 8. And Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
The show must go on.
Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schock bringing you everything that's happening in the Champaign-Urbana community theater scene. Today I have some excellent guests. I have LaDonna Wilson, the choral and theater director at Champaign Central, and also Tanya Razi Combs and Linda Evans, who are currently directing and producing the show coming up at the station, Farinelli and the King, which has auditions coming up this weekend. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Thanks for having us.
It's an exciting show, exciting time in local theater because we have the fall season is getting underway. The summer is just winding to an end now. We have two shows, one local and one statewide, that are winding down this week, and I can't recommend them enough. The first of which is currently going on at the station. If you are a regular listener of the show, you've heard me rave about it. I've had guests in the last 2 weeks from the last 5 years. You have three more chances to see this show at the station. Tonight at 7:30, and then Friday and Saturday nights. Tonight, David French and Jenna Cohn are back as the actors. And I just want to play a little clip because when David and Jenna were in last week, they got shortchanged. This is David French and Jenna Cohn with a little clip of the next 10 minutes from the last 5 years.
The next 10 minutes till the morning comes, then just holding you might compel me to ask you for more. There's so many lives I want to share with you.
Just such a great and heartbreaking show, really well performed. Chelsea Collier's done an amazing job of getting really high quality talent and an orchestra, just a 4-piece orchestra in this little space, and created a magical show. So there's still tickets available for the last 3 shows. I really recommend you get out and see it. The other thing that's winding down is Come From Away, which is a very well-regarded Broadway show, has been playing up in Chicago at the Cadillac Theater. They've been selling out most nights, but the run ends August 18th. You can still go on StubHub and get decent seats. It is, you know, one of the best shows that I've seen in Chicago. The cast, it's actually got James Earl Jones's kid is in it, and he has a voice just like his dad. It's worth going just to see that. But it's a super fun show. And here's a tiny clip. Except there was going to be an ad. So I was on the fence about playing that clip anyway, so now I'm not going to. So today was the first day of school, and my son went to his first day at Champaign Central. Generally a pretty confident kid, but wow, first days of high school are tough. I mean, and they're probably tougher on parents than they are on kids. But I woke up this morning with Dear Evan Hansen on my mind, and there's just one. These are the words that I think that most parents were feeling today as they got their kids ready for school.
Does anybody have a map?
as I go.
Kind of like me in the show, actually. Making this up as I go. I think I've done better with Wade probably than I have with the show. But anyway, so first day of school. And LaDonna Wilson, this was your first day of your 25th year of teaching at Champaign Central.
Yep. We just had freshmen today, so my day was light because I teach mostly seniors. But the end of my day was my drama class, and so I had kids all day, like popped in and out several times during the day to say, I can't wait for drama, I can't wait for drama. So it's always nice to have that enthusiasm.
Well, that's really exciting. And it did make my son's life easier, knowing that he was going to be seeing the great LaDonna Wilson today. And so have you been at Central for all 25 of these years?
No, I've been. This is my 19th year there. I taught at Rantoul before that and some smaller schools. Like, I kept building to a different theater program. And then at Central, I was asked to apply. And I kind of have run with it from there. I've kind of created a program that I'm pretty proud of.
Yeah. Well, you should be. There's been some tremendous accolades have come to the program in the past year. I know, was Chicago in 2015 or 2016? Do you remember?
I mean, it was a whole year process for us, so it felt like the show that never ended because we did it in the fall, went to state, went to nationals. So it was a big thing for us.
Was that the first show that you've taken to nationals?
No, actually, my first year at Central, I had a group and I did Children of a Lesser God, and we took that there. And we did the sign language, Bunny Berg, who works at the U of I, who's actually working with us in Hunchback. She's interpreting for us. Her son was in the program, and she interpreted the whole show in two parts because it was American Sign Language and Signed English. So it was like two different languages. So like one character was doing one and the other one was doing the other language. And so it was very well received.
Well, that sounds really fantastic. Yeah. I actually didn't know it was a musical.
It's not a musical. It's a straight play.
Okay.
Yeah.
The movie was one of the things I very much remember about my college years that made me first, like, I could go through a serious movie, not like a John Belushi movie or something like that, and be really moved. Well, Chicago was incredible, and I'm excited because Chicago's coming to Parkland in the spring, and I'm wondering, because I think of your cast and like who's still around, and like,
well,
hey, Quentin, Zoe Dunn,
who
are you
played
gonna
Billy,
do it?
Is at Parkland, so
oh, he is.
He is. So
oh, that, he was wonderful.
He was in several shows last year in their season.
Okay, so. And I just got done watching Zoe Dunn dance in Wizard of Oz, and I was thinking, okay, she's got to be there for Chicago too. So I'm like, because I like to cast shows in my head when I see them released, and I just pretty much cast that whole thing with your cast. So that was special.
Now that they're grown ups, actually playing grown ups, right?
So you mentioned Hunchback, and now that is the combined Champagne
C2 production.
C2, okay. And I know that there was some rehearsals going on through the summer, but what's the plan with Hunchback now?
So this summer we were just doing sign language clinics to get kids to kind of see what it was like. The plan is that Quasimodo is deaf because of the bells, and it's mentioned in the actual novel. And some national productions have kind of taken that, you know, point of view as well. So many of our chorus members are going to be signing, and some of it will be signed the whole time, and then there's also going to be interpreters there so that the characters who are empathetic with him will sign with him and the characters who are not will not sign. So then it'll be interpreted by somebody else that's not on stage for those moments.
That sounds really ambitious.
Yes.
I think we have a full show of subject matter on See You at the Show in the future, talking about the sign language experience and getting some kids in to talk about that. Well, I'm really glad that the C2 is continuing. Is this going to be maybe the fourth year?
This will be the fourth production we're going to do together, but we have slated for the next 3 years, I think, at the Virginia to do it. During construction, that's going to be one way that we're going to be able to do it is each of us will have the show together, so it kind of makes our season a little bit shorter, since we'll actually be sharing the Centennial stage most of the time of the construction.
Okay, so that was going to be what I got into next, because as any parent who tried to drop their kids off today, even with only one quarter of the students coming to school, it's a mess.
And it's amazing how much it has transformed since Monday. I didn't know how they were going to get students in. The custodians have worked nonstop to make that building better.
Well, that's great. Yeah. You get points from Unit 4 because there's so much bad attitude about it in the community. But I drove by Dr. Howard for the first time today and I was like, whoa, where did that come from?
It was amazing.
It was like a nice leveled lot for so long and now boom, buildings. Yeah. And Central's got nice windows and maybe things are happening ahead of schedule. But
I doubtful. Okay. let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, don't promise that.
All right. So let's keep focusing on drama. What are the implications for the Central Drama Program with the construction?
Well, one of the things I've tried to focus on this year is to pick shows that have big sets, because in the next couple years, since we're going to be sharing the space at Centennial, we'll have less time in the actual theater space. So we're going to do things that are a little bit more pared down. Like a Come From Away would be great if they'd ever make that available.
Right.
So this year we're going to do things that are big. So we're going to start the fall with Addams Family, which is this kind of big, imposing set and has a lot of things coming on and off. We're going to do Noises Off with the two-story rotating set. And then Hunchback won't be in our theater, but it's going to be a pretty big set that's going to be at C2 Production. So we'll be doing that at the Virginia, but we'll be building it at both of the schools probably.
Okay, I know that some of the people in the cast were hoping that Spelling Bee came back again. Was that something that you considered?
We have not finalized if that's going to be evaluated for state yet.
Okay.
We haven't been eligible for state because I was on the committee for 7 years, and so this is the first year we're eligible to be evaluated for that. And so I definitely want to do a show this fall, and Spelling Bee's been there a lot, and I think that lessens our chance of being accepted. So I haven't put it to bed yet, but that's going to be our topic probably in our first thespian meeting.
Is Maddie Henson back?
Yes, she's a senior this year.
Okay, that's great. And is Josiah Zelke back?
Yes, he's just going to be a junior.
Wow.
Yeah, Ricky's just a junior.
I feel like I'm talking to a basketball coach. Like, so who went pro from your team?
And Will's a senior, so a lot of them are back.
Well, it's been fun this summer seeing, and especially the more that I try to be aware of local community theaters, when I see the crossover and I see students who are, especially when you have such great mature voices like Josiah and Will, and getting involved in the community theater scene too, that is a wonderful thing, and it keeps developing their skill set for you. Is there a fall musical? I'm trying to understand
Addams
the schedule.
Addams Family is going to be the second weekend in November, like the 6th through the 10th, basically.
Okay.
So it will be, we do 3 musicals a year at Central, which is kind of unheard of for a high school. And one of them we do in acting class. So we do it during the day mostly. We usually do it in 2.5 weeks. So Jesus Christ Superstar we did in 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
This spring. And I was pretty proud of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
Demo was pretty amazing, just going to say.
it was the best show to be a part of.
Yeah,
really enjoyed it, and it was amazing to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you did that in just an acting class in a couple of weeks. When I was at Centennial acting, there's no way we could have done that in our acting class. So
the kids are just so passionate. Like, it's a passion project, and they put it all out there.
Yeah, I'd misunderstood how much time there was. And so I was, I think, raving to a couple of the actors about, how did you do this in 6 weeks and all this stuff? And then they're like, what are you talking about? 6 weeks.
That's
and
a luxury.
So, yeah.
And I mean, we did the whole set. They did the costumes. The kids did a backstory when we did it in acting class. So I knew I wanted to make it post-apocalyptic, but they did a whole, like, each picked a reason that the world was the way it was. And so they came up with it, you know, an ending story and what was the world like, and they did costume design and they did a whole bunch of things. So it was really an all around learning experience. It wasn't just a performance.
Wow. Well, that's a great pitch to get into the Champaign Central acting class. That sounds like a really great way to develop minds and talents.
And they were very passionate about it because it was their investment, you know?
Right.
So,
okay. So you have so many kids interested in being in part of these shows. How do you work auditions at a school? Like, I'm coaching the St. Thomas More girls tennis team right now. And the hardest thing for me is figuring out like tryouts and lineup and stuff like that. And so you're in a little bit of that role as a coach when you're, and so how do you audition the kids? Is it pretty typical?
I feel like I don't do it a typical way in one way. I have kids sing from the actual musical. I did the Allstate show 2 years ago. I did it the same way. I feel like that takes that step out of having a callback where then you hear them do the part.
Right.
I oftentimes will have them prepare more than one character, because they aren't very good at choosing which character to audition for necessarily. They choose the character that they like, but not necessarily the one that might be the best for their voice or their ability level at the time. So I think that's a little atypical, but I also feel, because I'm a high school teacher, I'm trying to prepare them for auditions in the future. So I'm trying to teach them what auditions are like. Right. So it's also maybe different than what might be in a more professional setting.
Do they audition in front of the other students?
We do usually like rounds, so there'll be six people in an audition, and each of them will then step forward to sing. And then I usually have them sing twice, because the first time is always a little scary. I also try to give them a little bit of direction, because one of the things I want to see is, can they take direction,
right,
even if it's just something small. Then they'll dance. We always do dance afterwards, because, you know, otherwise they'd be exhausted to sing. And then they perform as well. So the group of six will see each other. And then for callbacks, everybody's in the room for callbacks, because I want them to see me give direction to everybody, to see how they handle what direction has been given to them, how they are supportive of other people. That's a really important aspect to me, is that they can encourage and love each other, because I think that's also how we create good people. So that's part of my process too.
Well, maybe I should have you come and run my tennis tryouts, because that sounds like a system that I can incorporate some mm-hmm. things from that. The smaller groups and then advancing to the bigger groups, but basically having it be what you want is at the end is everybody being invested,
right,
whatever role you're going to end up playing mm-hmm. in the show, just to feel like they're part of the team.
And the kids that are auditioning for ensemble, I have them sing together, so they don't have to sing individually in front of everyone. And if there's only one person in that six, like, all of them will sing. Because honestly, an ensemble member doesn't have to sound great, as long as they aren't tearing the ensemble apart. Most people in America can learn to sing.
Yeah.
Like, you can sing a melody. It's like 4% can't, right?
I think, and then eliminating that anxiety piece,
right,
will keep the singers that are new or mm-hmm. new to or advancing, will keep them unafraid.
Yes.
So that's exciting. And transitioning into auditions, mm-hmm. Which is getting us into why Tanya and Linda are here. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of auditions happening now that we're moving into the fall season. They're here to talk about Farinelli and the King, which has auditions this Saturday at the station from 1 to 4. We also have auditions for Twin City Theater Company taking place at the Champaign Public Library in room 215. So you can go to your Farinelli auditions and then hustle over to the library, where Twin City is auditioning for two shows, No Exit, which is going to be directed by Aaron Polk, and The Fall of the House of Usher, which is going to be directed by Kevin Wickard. Don't have much to say about those shows right now, but I'm excited about them, especially seeing that No Exit is actually the inspiration show for The Good Place, which when I was reading the summary of No Exit, three people, you know, very different, and their hell is to be cast in, or to be forever in the same room with people different than them. I was like, wow, sounds like The Good Place. So Googled No Exit, Good Place. Turns out it was the inspiration for the brilliant show. Next weekend, there are Parkland auditions, Elephant's Graveyard, and then Peter and the Starcatcher, a musical directed by Matthew Green. And Latrell Bright is doing Elephant Graveyard. So, Tanya, have you ever directed in town before?
So this summer, I directed a devised theater piece, which basically means I got together with a bunch of other theater people, and we created our own piece.
And who did you do that with?
We did it through the Performance Studio, technically, which is Latrell Bright's. She leads that particular group.
Great.
But I invited basically anyone who maybe was a dancer, an actor, a singer, you know, a variety of people. And eventually, when we settled upon our ensemble, we started creating a story. And actually, by the time that it was a 3-4 week process in total, but we presented a show at the Armory Free Theater at the end of July.
So that was and so just so I get that straight, because that sounds really fascinating, you actually built the show?
We built the show from start to finish.
And it was collaborative, actors?
It was totally collaborative. I was the one who was leading the ensemble, and I was the one who was kind of, you know, picking and choosing what we're going to use, but we, you know, from start to finish. And I kind of, what's cool about that process is, depending on who's there and what their specific talents are, you can incorporate them in. So one of my friends is is a dancer, and so we did some dance stuff. We James Hevel, who's actually going to be in Farinelli, one of the through lines was a piece that he sang, and so we came back to that song throughout the entire structure of that particular devised piece.
And so is that a song that he brought in, or is that a song that also was kind of organically came out of this process?
It was one actually that he really wanted to sing. It's a favorite of his. It was Samuel Barber's Knoxville, Summer of 1915. So we used that as our thread to hold together our entire story.
Okay.
So we just paused it. It's a 15-minute piece, and we just paused it at different junctures, and then we inserted another story in about the impending loss of a family matriarch. And so we weave these two stories together.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was very cool.
And so what is the rest of your directing resume? Is this going to be a first for you?
Is this my first time directing?
Yes.
Oh, no. Okay. I've been directing. It's my first time directing at the station.
Okay.
I started directing... I don't know, maybe, I guess doing my master's degree, it was over 10 years.
Okay.
Over 10 years. And then I was, I worked for a couple of years at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, where I was the director of opera music theater. And I, the last opera I directed actually won two national awards. It was The Tenderland by Aaron Copland. We won the second place award for best opera production that was submitted, and I won the third place directing award. So that was exciting, and I'm currently a doctoral candidate in vocal performance and literature with a cognate in stage direction, and so I'm from Champaign-Urbana. I actually went to Centennial.
Sorry about that.
And I thought it would be great to direct something in my hometown before I finish at the U of I.
So what was it about Farinelli and the King that made you, I assume that you submitted?
Okay. I did. So 2 years ago, I went to go see some shows on Broadway, and Farinelli and the King was showing on Broadway. And it's such a great piece, and it weaves together. So I come from the theater world and the music world, and so it weaves together two of my great passions in life, because Farinelli is about the renowned castrato from the 18th century. And so what's cool about Farinelli and the King is it's mostly a play, but it does have one character that sings. And James Hevel is a male soprano. And so because it was a very specific piece, we precast that role with someone that has the ability to sing some of the iconic arias that Farinelli sang during his own lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I imagine that you need to have somebody in mind for Farinelli.
Definitely.
Because it would be a rare thing. And
yes.
So are you familiar with Hadestown at all, the musical?
I have not seen it, but I would love to go see it. Okay. I will put that on my list of things to go see.
It's not a completely random segue, even though I do try to work Hadestown into almost every show. Because I've seen it twice on Broadway, and you should see it. But the Orpheus character sings at an incredibly high register, and I don't know if that would be castrato. Is it castrato or castrato soprano, or is it just...
Well, so they don't actually have castratos anymore because that you're literally castrated.
Was afraid that's what that meant. But, you know, there's some things you just...
So, yeah, Farinelli was one of the last, like, really, really big famous ones. There's actually a movie that came out, I think it was in 1994, that came out on the historical Farinelli. Farinelli was actually his stage name. His real name was Carlos Broschi.
But this is based in fact?
So, yeah. So this particular play is based on the real-life encounter between Farinelli and King Philip V of Spain. So it takes place in King Philip's palace in Madrid.
So
For the most part.
So there are, so you're auditioning this Saturday, which is in 2 days.
Yes.
From 1 to 4. Is it something that people who are interested need to sign up for in advance, or are you just taking walk-ins?
So we are taking walk-ins, but we do have a place to sign up in advance. If you go to Auditions Farinelli and the King on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
Just hop on that page. It's an open public page, and it'll give a little link to where you can sign up for auditions. it would be awesome if you could sign up in advance. But if you are still unsure about what your Saturday looks like, just come on in. We are very excited to come hear you audition.
And if you can also go to seeyouattheshow.com, and we have an auditions tab, which will link you directly to the auditions page that she is talking about, where you can sign up.
How many roles are there in the show?
So there are seven roles, seven people that we're going to have on stage. In the Broadway production, they actually had two people playing the role of Farinelli. They had a singer, an exclusively singer, and then there was the Farinelli actor. For this production, I'm going to use the same person to do both mm-hmm. parts. There are also a couple other double casting, like for instance, the king also plays the tailor at the end, and then there's a servant character of the king, Miguel, and he also plays a stagehand named Jethro. So,
what are the demographics that you're looking for these roles?
Mostly, so we have one female part, Isabella Farnese, the queen, and everybody else is a male, and all ages. So I'm looking, 20 to 70 or even older, older, younger. I'm looking for, anybody that wants to come out and come audition, we'll find a place for you.
Okay. And so, Linda, you've been sitting quietly here. You're the producer of this show, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So you are probably most famous in this town, like I am, as the mother of kids that are very talented. And so you are the mother of Parker, Dima, and Josie, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And they're all involved in the local theater scene.
They're all in theater and film, too. So,
Are any of them auditioning for Farinelli?
I don't know yet. I'm trying to talk Parker into auditioning, but he's also auditioning for the Parkland play, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're finally old enough for me to kind of get involved in theater my own way, so it's been exciting to work with the station more, because I've loved the station since I was, 10 or 11. I started going to shows there. I grew up here, so.
It's such an amazing place, and and I'm excited for you, Tanya, to get to experience it in this way, because as somebody who's been a fan of theater, just like Linda was saying, just growing up in this town, it's a sacred space. And then to get to perform there and to get to create there, it's just going to be really special.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. I've only ever been there as a performer. So I think I've done 5 shows throughout the years, but I grew up here, so they were really spread out. Like, they were not, like, all at the same time. The first one was maybe 10, 12 years ago. So my name is on the wall in a couple of different places, but this is my first time as a director in that space.
Okay. Well, thank you all for coming in. We've run short of time, but now this is just a whetting the appetite of Farinelli, because once you get the show cast, I'm going to need you to come back in and talk more about it.
Somebody sing, apparently.
Yeah. No kid. Now you've got us really, you've got me really excited about what.
We're looking for musicians too, because there's 2 to 4 musicians that also are on stage. They're not
okay.
Yeah. So.
And do you have a music director, or is that something you're doing yourself?
I am looking. I'm looking right now for a music director.
Okay.
Because this is going to be somebody that's going to be on stage. So it's the court musicians that will be playing for Farinelli.
Okay.
So yeah, this should be great.
Well, this has been Eric Schacht. See you at the show. Stay tuned for Surfabilly Freakout coming up next. And for all of you students out there who had your first day at school today, let's kind of like chill things out a little bit with some Dancing Through Life from Wicked to show you maybe a different perspective if you don't want to take things so seriously.
The trouble with schools is they always try to teach the wrong lesson. Believe me, I've been kicked out of enough of them to know. They want you to become less callow, less shallow. But I say, why invite stressing? Stop studying strife and learn to live the unexamined life. Dancing through life, skimming the surface, gliding where turf is smooth. Life's more painless for the brainless. Why think too hard when it's so soothing, dancing through